First Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then all Israel gathered themselves to David and to Hebron, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." These are men that are coming together to help David, to stand beside David, to support him. And where else do you hear that phrase, "thy bone and thy flesh"? Remember when God brought Eve to Adam? So this is now bone of thy bone, flesh of thy flesh. And so as we think about this, what these men were saying to David was, "We are committed to you. We are dedicated to you. We are going to stand with you. We are going to fight with you. We're going to be with you in the battle. We're not going to run away. Where you go, we'll go. Where you fight, we'll fight. Where you rejoice, we'll rejoice. We are one with you." Verse 2, "And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel." Even saying, even when Saul was the king, David, you were the one. You were the one that we looked to. You were the one that led us about. You were the one that brought us out when we were taken into captivity. David, you've always been this leader. I don't think that there have been many people in history that we could say they're natural born leaders. I'm going to get into that more in just a moment. There have been some that have been natural born leaders, but most leaders have come up through the ranks. Most leaders have experienced the things that they lead people into. And so they're saying to David, before you ever arrived at this point, you had experience in leading us in battle and leading us in good times and helping us to see the hope that is ours. And then they said, "Thou shalt," and the Lord thy God said unto thee, "Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel." So these men, they realize that David is the one that is the leader of their nation. David is the one that they're going to follow. But they also understand and they acknowledge that as David is leading them, he's also following. He's following the leadership of the Lord. And so as you think about the leadership, ultimately the Lord is our captain. The Lord is our leader. The Lord is the one. Paul, whenever that he was writing, I believe it's to the church at Philippi, he said, "That which you see me do, do, as long as it's in the Lord. As long as I'm following the Lord, then you can be assured that that's the right path to take." So as we look about the mighty men of valor, it's going to take me just a minute to kind of get this rolling. But as we think about the mighty men of valor, we're thinking, first of all, that they had a leader that they were blessed to be able to follow. So then when you think of, and let me go down to verse 9 of that 11th chapter. "So David waxed greater and greater." Why? "For the Lord of hosts was with him." So when we're serving the Lord, when we're following the Lord, we can rest assured that we're going to be able to be blessed in victory. Now, that's not to say that every day is going to be the best of days, and you're going to have turmoil, you're going to have strife and all the things that come along with life. That is life itself, isn't it? Ups and downs, good times and sad times and bad times and easy times. But as you think about this, the Lord is with us. How can we fail if we're following the Lord? How could we possibly fail if we're following the Lord? It's when I sway away from that I'm prone to fall. It's when I turn away from following the Lord and start following myself. Those are the times that I'm prone to experiencing defeat in life. So as long as I can understand that the Lord is with me, the Lord is guiding me, the Lord is blessing me, then I can understand that marching, going, we just sang the song, going forth in the battle, we're going forth with the understanding that God is going to see us through. So now, David is the leader. The Lord is with him. And men are starting to come to him and I'll just say they're volunteering to help David, to stand with David, to be the army that David needed in order for Israel to remain that strong nation that it was. So we come back to our text and it says they were all mighty men of valor in chapter 12 and verse 21. They were all mighty men of valor. There's no way that I can complete all of this, but there's four thoughts that come to my mind when I thought about a mighty person of valor, whether it be men or women. Mighty person of valor, many mighty men of valor is what our text says. There's four things that come to my mind. One is they're courageous. They're courageous. In chapter 12 and verse 1, we read that these are they that came to David. In other words, he didn't have to reach out and pull them in. He didn't have to draft them in. But rather, they came to David, and they were the helpers of the war at the end of the first verse there. They were courageous. They were willing to stand, willing to do whatever was necessary in order for Israel to remain strong. So the first thought about a mighty person of valor is courage. It takes courage. The second thing was to be skilled. To be skilled. And all of these things, I'm going to come back and touch on them a little bit more in depth. But to be skilled, look at verse 2 of chapter 12. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. They were skilled. They were skilled, we would call it, they were ambidextrous, right? They were able to use both either hands, meaning if they got hurt in one hand, they still could use the other. Now, I admit to you, my left hand, it's good for holding cornbread when I'm eating. That's about all that I can do with my left hand. If I try to write with my left hand, you can't read it. I can't read. I barely can read my right hand. But my left hand, forget it. But these were men that were skilled. They were able to use. In other words, if they got injured, they still had a good hand. And they used that hand. Whether it was, and I know that bow and arrow requires both hands, but notice what it says. Not only could they shoot the bow and arrow, they could hurl stones, they could throw rocks, and they were accurate even with their left hand. And I'm going to go back into that being skilled in just a moment as to what it requires to be skilled. The third thing is they were aggressive. They were aggressive. When you think about our Christian walk, and again, I want this to be a parallel with our Christian walk. We are to be aggressive in our Christian walk. If we just sit back and take our ease, do you know what's going to happen? The weeds are going to come in. In the book of Proverbs, there's that parable that is spoken of, as I was walking down the road, and we've all seen this. It said, I was walking down the road and I beheld a fence, a stone fence, and that stone fence was overrun by weeds. And when you see something being overrun by weeds, eventually it's going to be broken apart. Have you ever been traveling down the road and looked? I remember when we lived in Middle Tennessee, that's Rocky Top, okay? And there's rocks everywhere, but they would take those rocks and they would build the stone fences with those. But after a while, when those fences were not maintained, what would take place? Eventually trees would grow up, and as the trees grew up in those stones, it would tear the fence down. So we must be aggressive in our walk. You can't take a passive approach to the Christian walk. It must be an aggressive approach, an aggressive walk, saying, today I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to do what I can do in order that Christ would be glorified in my life. Today is the day that I'm going to use the power and the strength that is mine in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go back to Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. I spoke about the power, the presence, and the punch of the Holy Spirit. The punch being that forward exertion of power that is ours as a result of the Holy Spirit living in us and the power of the Holy Spirit being used through us, that we can tear down strongholds and things that would keep us back from following the Lord. But we must be aggressive. You can't just sit back and say, well, I've heard people all my life say, well, if God wants people here, He'll send them here. Can I tell you something? God has commanded us to go out of the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. He's commanded us to invite people. We're to be aggressive with not only with the manner in which that we walk, but sharing our faith and sharing our love for the Lord with other people. We're to be aggressive with that. And the fourth thing is to be committed. We're to be committed. You see, there's so many things that can draw our attention away. But if we're committed, our hearts and our minds are focused on one thing, and that is, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to follow the Lord. Wherever He puts me, whatever situation and circumstance that He puts in front of me, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to be committed and dedicated to Him. Now, there's a lot of verses in chapter 12, and I'm really just going to look at certain phrases in those verses for us to get the idea. For as David was coronated to be king, then the other tribes of Israel began to come to him. The other tribes, and it's mentioned one tribe at a time. In verse 24 of chapter 12, in verse 24 is the tribe of Judah. And they're described as being ready, armed to war. Ready, armed to the war. You and I have been armed. We have the whole armor of God for our protection, but we also have the sword of the Spirit, which is our weapon. This is the weapon that we use in the warfare that is against us. You know, I'm afraid that that we're seeing in our day right now, many that are wanting to rely upon the carnal weapons of the world in order to fight what we perceive as being wickedness. But we've been given. I'm telling you, this is, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And when the light is shown, darkness must leave. Darkness cannot stay in the presence of light. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that I need to be courageous. And that is that I need to speak the Word of God even when people don't want to hear it. I need to be skilled. And that is I need to take time to spend time in the Word of God to be able to know what God's Word says to me. And I need to be aggressive with the Word of God. You know, we've bought into this, the church has bought into this for 30 or more years. Well, I don't want to impose my belief on anybody else. I want to tell you something. I want to impose my belief on other people. I want people to know that I stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to know that there is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. I want to impose that because there are so many people that are looking and longing and needing and don't know where to go for it. But listen, we've got it. We've got it. I tell this story pretty often. If I've told it here, just rank it up as number 5. Okay? When we lived in Lynchburg, we moved there and I was going to hang some pictures. And I needed some anchor bolts to put in the wall to hang the pictures on. Well, if you need hardware, where do you go? You go to the hardware store, right? Well, if you've ever been to Lynchburg, Tennessee, it's just a one square town. And right in the middle of that is Lynchburg Hardware. So I'm thinking, I remember seeing the hardware store. I'll go there. I walked in. I walked up to the counter. I said, I need some anchor bolts. And they said, what? You see, on the sign out front, it said Lynchburg Hardware, but all it was a souvenir store for Jack Daniels. They didn't know what anchor bolts were, but thank the Lord they did tell me where to go to get them. They said there's a hardware store. I thought I was in the hardware store. Listen, we're the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have the sign out front. And we need to reflect on the inside what the sign says on the outside. We must be aggressive in that. We must be ready, armed to the war. I get off on that one. Verse 25, the tribe of Simeon came, and they were mighty men of valor for the war. They were men of strength, men of ability, men that were efficient in what they were able to do, and they were well equipped, ready for the battle. Don't we want to be Simeons? Don't we want to be ready and well equipped and able to do those things that God has equipped us to be? Verse 26, the tribe of Levi. If you remember Levi, that was the priest tribe. They were the tribe that were over the spiritual things. So in this battle, we also need those that are willing to spend time in prayer and support of those that are going forward. I want to say forth every time. Going forward into the battle. We need those that are praying. I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, I just don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why God's leaving me here. As long as He's leaving us here, we have the ability to pray for our brothers and our sisters. So therefore, we always have a reason and a purpose in life. So the tribe of Levi, they weren't required to actually go into the battle, but they stayed and they fought the battle on the home front by praying for those that were going into battle. So the Levites were also included, that men of spiritual relevance that were willing to give of themselves to pray for those in battle. Verse 29, the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin, it speaks of them as having stayed with Saul and all the way through. They were men that were faithful to the cause. Even when there was a transition, there was those that were faithful to the cause. Just as they had helped Saul, they were now ready to help. They were faithful to the cause. Verse 30, the tribe of Ephraim. They were famous. And I thought, what does that word famous mean? Well, it means that they were men of honor. They had proven themselves in battle before. They had stayed strong in the battle. And when, you know, every church congregation, we have that here, those that have been through the years that have been faithful to the cause and men of honor that stood strong in that. Verse 31, Manasseh. They were expressed by name. That was David handpicked them. They were those that David understood and knew and had experience with, and he called them by name and said, I want you in my army. They weren't drafted as such, but David handpicked them. I'm going to skip one tribe. I'll come back to them. Down to verses 33, 35, and 36, you find the tribes of Zebulun, the Danites, and the Ashers. They were experts in war. They were tacticians. They were tacticians. They knew how to go about. They knew how to set the battle in order. They knew how to establish where the lines would be and how to go about to find that victory in battle. Verse 34 was Naphtali. They were equipped. They were ready. And you also then find the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Those were the ones that had come in at the end, but they were armed and they were ready for war. Now, I skipped over one in verse 32, the tribe of Issachar. But this applies to all the tribes as well. The tribe of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Our nation today needs men of understanding that know what to do. That know what to do that is best for our nation. But also as individuals and in our church congregations, in our families, we need those that have an understanding of the times. Understand, we're not going into it blindfolded. We're not going into it with rose-colored glasses on. We're not going into it thinking everything's going to be hunky-dory. We're going to realize that there's going to be struggles. There's going to be times of heartaches. There's going to be times of problems. There's going to be times when we fall down. There's going to be times when we got to get back up. But we have understanding of the times. Do we understand the times that we're living in today? I can't, as your pastor, I can't stand here and act like that everything is okay in our nation today when it's not. Everything is not okay in our nation today. We're at a crossroads. We're at a place where we could go one of two ways. One is the right way, one is the wrong way. I'm just going to say it, okay? If you don't like what I'm saying, you can tell me to go. But I'm telling you that we're at a crossroads. And we need men of understanding of the times that are willing to stand up and say, this is what we're supposed to do. And this is how that we go about doing it. And so Issachar, they were those men that had understanding. They realized something's got to be done. But not just anything. The right thing has to be done. And it has to be gone about in the right way to be able to accomplish those things that would be glorifying to our Lord. Then, in verse 38... Now I know I'm going fast, but I'm going to come back and touch on some of these things. In verse 38 it says, all these men of war that could keep rank. All of these were men of war that could keep rank. And I thought, what does that mean? What does it mean that they were able to keep rank? It means they didn't turn and run when battle showed up. When the fight got hot, they didn't turn and run. They didn't give in to the enemy. But they stood strong. And they stood fast. And they did not waver. They kept rank. In other words, I believe they would look at the one to the right and say, you're my brother and I'm standing with you. Look to the left and say, you're my brother and I'm standing with you. And they did not break rank, because it's just like a chain with a weak link. That chain's going to break. But they kept rank. They stood strong. And they stood in the Lord in those things. So, let me go back now to those four things that I started at the first. To be courageous. That means to be willing to step forward when needed. Willing to step up and stand up and speak out when time is necessary. When I start thinking about courageous, I thought about Noah. And you think, well, Noah didn't fight a battle. I believe he did. I believe he fought a battle for 120 years. I believe that every day as Noah was building that ark, people would walk by and make fun of him. Can you imagine? Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Noah, there's no water around here. It's going to rain. Rain? What do you mean rain? Just wait and see. 10 years later, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat? So when the flood comes, we'll be ready to get in that boat and float. 15 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 119 years. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. It took courage for him to keep on building that boat when the rain didn't come. But guess what? One day, the rain came. And who was ready to go on the boat? Noah, the man of courage. Sometimes it means to be ready to stand up and do what's right, even when everybody else is mocking and making fun. I remember when we were at Goshen Church in Missouri. There was a man who he started coming to church during the time we were there. His grandfather actually had pastored that church for 40 years, and he had gotten away from the church, but he started coming back to church. And every Sunday as he would come go out, he would shake my hand and he'd say, stay the course, preacher. Stay the course. We need to stay the course. We're in a time now when it's so easy to falter, to go one way or the other. We need to stay the course. God's direction to Joshua was, be courageous. Be courageous. And what was the basis for his courage? God told him three times, be courageous. But at the beginning, at the end of those times, he said, I'm with you. You don't have to do it on your own power. You don't have to do it on your own strength. God says, I'm with you. The first thing is to be courageous. Second thing is to be skilled. How do we become skilled? I think it takes practice, practice, practice. Very few things. Brother Harry, you know I'm not skilled at golf, but I keep practicing at it. It takes practice. But you know what else is required for skill? Failure. If you don't fail, you'll not continue practicing. You'll think you got it. And when you think you got it, that's when you're about to fall. So we practice, practice, practice. We fail, we fail, we fail. And what do? We restart, restart, restart. The wise man Solomon said, the just man falleth 7 times and gets back up. It's not a shame to fall. It's when we don't get back up. That's when we're failure. So we get back up. We stand strong. And we become skilled in getting back up. We get skilled in saying, Lord, would you help me? You know, I've been guilty of this, and I've heard other people say the same. I've asked Him so many times. I know He don't want me to ask Him again. Can I tell you the thing that God doesn't want you to do is not ask Him? He says, come to me. He doesn't put a limit on that. He doesn't put a time frame on that. He says, you come to me. And I'll help you. So we're to be courageous, we're to be skilled, we're to be aggressive. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on that whole armor of God. And we're to be committed. Committed. Go with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. As you're turning there, I want to say that Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. Jesus Christ is the one that everything that I'm talking about today, He did it. When He walked on the face of the earth, when He faced adversity, when He faced those that mocked Him, when He faced those that tried to kill Him, He stayed committed. He was courageous, He was skilled, He was aggressive, and He was committed to the cause. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's not telling us that we have to come up within ourselves and just, you got it, just now do it. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, verse 2, the same commit thou to faithful men. Share it with others. Let people know that life is not easy. Let people know that life is a struggle. Let people know that you're going to get knocked down. But let people know that the Lord is there with the hand outreach saying, I'll lift you up and I'll walk with you. I'll be with you constantly. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be committed to the cause. Be committed to the cause. I'm not going to waver. Though life may knock me down, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on the Lord. I'm going to look to Him. And I'm going to endure the hardness that life throws at me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to endure. You remember what was told about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12? We talked about He endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross? Do you think that? And I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm just saying this so we'll think about it. Do you think that it was just a piece of cake for Jesus to say, go ahead and drive the nails in my hands and my feet? Do you think that He smiled and said, oh, what a good time I'm having when people pass by and said, yeah, look at Him? He endured hardness. And in Christ Jesus, you and I can do it also. We're not called upon to do it on our own. But we're called upon to be good soldiers. I'm going to go from verse 3 down through verse 10, but I'm going to use one word or one phrase out of each verse, okay? I hope I'm not leaving it out of context. But I want you to think about this as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, as a good soldier, we're to please Him. That's what we're called to do, to please our Lord. Verse 5, we're to strive. That word strive means it's not easy. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not telling you you can just get up in the morning and say, this is going to be the best day of my life. I'm telling you that every day is going to be a struggle, and every day you're going to have to strive to get from morning to night and from night to morning. It's not easy. But in Christ Jesus, there's strength to be had to be more than overcomers, to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're to strive, we're to contend, we're to be active in this. Verse 6, we're to partake. Be partakers of the fruits. When you have a good day, enjoy it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that today I made a good choice. Thank you that today I walked away from something that I wasn't supposed to be a part of. Thank you, Lord. Be partakers of that fruit. Enjoy the victories that God gives to you. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not boasting in yourself. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done to me. So be partakers of that. Verse 7, consider those things. Consider that. Consider the fact that though I was victorious today, that does not ensure me that tomorrow I'm not going to fall. It does not ensure me that tomorrow I'm not going to make a mistake. So consider, how did I enjoy the victory? And consider how it felt when I was victorious in contrast to when I failed. Consider those things. Think about those things. Think about what the Lord has done. Verse 8, remember. Just remember. Remember. We have short memories sometimes, don't we? Remember what the Lord has done. Remember the blessings. Verse 9, suffer. Yes, suffer. Why? I'm not going to lie to you. God's Word doesn't lie to us. There's a pleasure in sin for a season. But after that, the consequences catch up. So suffer through that. Jesus said, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Yes, the mind says this is what you want, and the heart says, no, it's not. There takes that suffering that must come through in verse 10 to endure. Starts with enduring, it ends with enduring. And there's hardship in between. No lies to tell. It's not easy. But in Christ Jesus, it can be done. How can we endure? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for you. Remember that. Consider that. There's only one who loves you like Jesus does. My mama loves me. My daddy loves me. But neither one of them compares to the love that Jesus has for me. So who can I depend upon? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. How do we be mighty men and women of valor? You just lean heavily on the Lord. You lean heavily on Him. And when life gets rough, you say, Lord, I can't do this. You got to get me through it. You know what He's always done for me? He's always got me through it. But you got to depend on Him. You can't do it yourself. God help us as we think on these things to be those people of courage and strength and commitment and dedication in the army of the Lord. May we pray.